Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted and privileged to welcome a very, very multifaceted woman from Mumbai. She loves the music, origami. She's from the corporate world, Mrs. Mala Ramadurai. Welcome to the show. Mala is a Carnatic musician. She's an origami expert. She's associated with Musiki, which is music for kids. And I spoke to her husband, Mr. S. Ramadurai, some time back. And I believe she was the force behind Mr. Ramadurai as he built Tata Consulting. So Mala, let's start talking about music and Musiki first. Tell me about your journey from Carnatic music to Hindustani style music.
That is, I think, a very pleasurable task that you have set me. Mm-hmm. I started off at home singing Carnatic music, mm-hmm. and it seemed to come naturally to me. I started at the age of 8. Mm-hmm. And when I got married, I had got a few awards and things like that, which made me feel that this was something that I could pursue. And it was, of course, definitely a passion with me. Mm-hmm. But when I came to Bombay, I realized that I have to really commute a long distance to actually get to good masters in Carnatic music. And my commuting skills are not that great. Mm-hmm. So I thought that why not shift to Hindustani? That mm-hmm. seems, I mean, I always, and my father was very fond of Hindustani, all kinds of music. I always used to listen to that. Mm-hmm. So then I engaged the master, and after a few months, he said, you know, it's getting very difficult for me to come so regularly. So why don't you try and do your, you know, more formal study of Hindustani? Mm-hmm. Since you seem to have a flair for it, why don't you go ahead? Mm-hmm. And I had never thought of that. I was a so-called, what shall I say, housewife. Mm-hmm. All that time and enjoying it with my son. It was great fun. And then I said, why not give it a shot? So I went to inquire about it. Mm-hmm. And I went to SNDT University. Mm-hmm. And there, to my greatest pleasure, there was Dr. Prabhatre, who's recently been awarded the Padma Vibhushan. Yeah. She is so open. I mean, I can't say enough about that. Mm-hmm. She's a lawyer by profession, but she's taken up music as her, you know, passion and her whole career and whole life. And she said, why don't you come for an audition? Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, why not? I mean, it seems to be, I mean, something I know a little bit here and there. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, I'll be able to do my bachelor's or something. So I went to her, and believe it or not, it was, I mean, to me, it was a disaster. Mm-hmm. I didn't know where the taal start, because in Carnatic music, you count the taal, you know.
Right.
And in here, you're supposed to listen to the taal, mm. which is a totally different kind of an experience.
Correct.
So I didn't know where I was. And when I finished, I said, oh my God, this has been such a disaster. Mm. She looked at me and she said, why don't you give your application to the master's program? Mm-hmm. It was like complete surprise. Mm. And I said, but I don't know so much of Marathi. So she said, no, there are books in Marathi you should be able to read, because you know the Hindi script. And I conversed in Marathi a bit here and there. So I took it up almost like a challenge, let's say. So I had to learn Marathi, because many of my lectures were in Marathi. And I learned, I engaged a very, very kind tabla player, mm-hmm. from the university, from SNDT. He used to come trudge along and come to Wali Sifes. And so I started listening to the taal. I can't count it, but I have to listen and sing. Mm. You know, multitasking, really.
Absolutely.
But it was great fun. It was really great fun. And I was so, so lucky to, again, to be introduced to my guru, Yashwant Bua Joshi. Who was one of the doyens of, he was, I think, one of the leading experts of Gwalior Gharana. Mm. So I learned from him for many, many years. I continued and started giving little performances, because he encouraged me. Mm-hmm. जस कुठेही तुला चान्स भेटेल तर जा. सो आय वेंट, आय डिड दॅट, अँड सो इट वॉज अ सच अ गॉड गिव्हन थिंग दॅट डॉक्टर ताई गेव मी, अँड ऑल्सो टू राईट माय एक्झाम्स इन इंग्लिश.
That's quite incredible, you know, and I appreciate, I can understand what you're saying. I play the flute, and I can exactly understand what you were saying about counting the taal. But coming back to you, how do you enable these two forms of music to coexist inside you?
See, that has been the greatness of all my gurus. I learned from Yashwant Bhuwan Joshi, as I told you, Dr. Atre. She was, of course, really, really very understanding. And she never told me that this is sounding, South Indian. Because I was very conscious of that. As singers, of course, we imitate, you know, a lot of imitation. So I think a little bit of that I must have imbibed. Bhuwa was always very, very understanding. And he said that there is nothing wrong. You must practice that also. Then I went to learn from Lal Gudi Ji in the South again, Lal Gudi Jayaraman. He was also very, they were all so good. And I developed my own style. And right now I'm learning from Satyashil Ji Deshpande, who's amazing again. And they all encouraged me to have my own style. There was no, you sounding this and you sounding that. And invariably when I introduce myself with my very South Indian face, everybody says, oh, you sing Karnataki music. And I'm very surprised when I sing in this.
Very interesting. But, based on all your experience and now you see what's happening to music, do you see a revival of classical music in our country?
I think, I shouldn't be saying this, but one of the blessings of this pandemic has been that people have been listening to a lot of music. And people have also started thinking about, what is this culture that has sustained us through these 2 years. Those have been very environment, the kind of appreciation that we have for the outdoor itself. And all these things, including music, that has been a huge part. I think my mother, for instance, my husband, they are all the time listening to music. And that has also kept them going. And I think this is definitely a part of our culture. And of course, whenever I do my music, even I ask my students, I said, do you know any singers? They say, yes, miss. And invariably, it will be like, some Western name. So I always used to tell them that this is your wealth and this is what you should be.
Very well said. So, your response gives me the segue to my next question, which is musiki. What was the motivation for the formation of Musiki?
I was always interested in interesting children. I had been teaching in Campion for some years. I'm a teacher by profession. One more profession. I was teaching there, and when I went there to teach, there was a wonderful principal, Mr. Dyer, who said that unless you teach, music also. I was a history major, so I said to teach history for the 9th and 10th standard. He said, unless you teach music also, because we are losing our music teacher, we'll not take you. And that was my first job. I had never gone for an interview and all this kind of thing. So straight from my B.Ed. college, I went there. And when they said that, I said, I can't do this because I've never learned music like that. So how can I teach music to little kids and, first, second, third, fourth? I was anyway. So when I went back and I said, I'll try. Then Father Lane Smith, who was there, said, no trying. You're going to do it. He said, I know you can do it. So I started teaching there, and that passion continued. I think I wanted children to be interested. I wanted them to understand that it's not all the time, that's what they used to talk about, classical music. And there was a lot of appreciation already amongst the children there. Very, very talented children.
Amazing.
And I thought this can be a wonderful, passion that they can pursue all their lives. Whatever they do later on. So I went along with that, and I said, let me do some workshops. So NCPA was kind enough. Mm-hmm. I'm also there on the advisory board of the Indian Music. Mm-hmm. So I started there, and it was great fun. Really great fun.
Amazing. And now there must be many, many children associated with Musikis, eh?
Yeah, yes, quite a number. Mm-hmm. I continued, actually, and then I thought I may do it online, but it somehow that is, and I will start again.
Very interesting. So I'm going to change gears slightly before I come to origami, and I've got this one question I wanted to ask you about music and management. For a long time, I have maintained that corporate managers are so, they've got such a limited field of vision about promotion, money, the job, etc. They don't think of anything beyond that. I'd love to get your perspective on how important is music in the life of a corporate manager.
I think one of the things you may be familiar with this in the Western world for managers, mm-hmm. they bring them to the orchestra and let them interact with that whole process for a mm-hmm. few days. Mm-hmm. It is a multitasking, when you're singing, as you will appreciate, mm-hmm. you have to learn, you have to remember, you have to recall, you have to create, you have to manage on the stage, you have to manage appearances on the stage, you have to manage your people on the stage along with you, your team, and convey whatever you want to convey in spite of your being in yourself, being inside yourself, so to speak, when you're singing. Mm. But at the same time, all these things, and you have to learn every day, you have to learn every time, you have to be new. I think it's got a huge lot of parallels with
Fascinating. Thank you. So I'm now going to move to your other passion, which is origami. And when I was reading about you, I said, once an artist, always an artist, I guess. Music.
Which reminds me, I've taken up charcoal.
Amazing. Well done. We'll do another conversation when you've specialized in your charcoal art. But, origami is something which I don't know much about, but whenever I was much younger, I used to do a Japanese form of cutting paper or folding paper, I think. But tell me about this art and how you got started in it.
See, I was very ill when I was very young. I got a bout of jaundice mm-hmm. and laid low, so to speak. And I have one of my very kind uncles got me a book and some paper. Mm-hmm. And he said, this will keep you occupied. You don't need to, move about mm-hmm. for this. Mm-hmm. So I started making some of those, it is Robert Harbin's. It's one of the very, very good books. Mm-hmm. Three or four mm-hmm. books in that series. So I started making those, and it was so fascinating, what origami is actually just a folding paper. Mm. Kirigami is cutting paper. Okay. Kami is paper.
Okay.
So, and then I got so fascinated by that. It was with me all along. Mm. And when I came to SNDG to do my master's in music, mm. there was a workshop next door.
Okay.
In the same university. Held by my now very good friend, mm. Geeta Kantawala, and there was another great lady who was also there, mm. right? And both of them were conducting. So I went there, and they said that we'll give you a certificate. I said, wow. I said, that's good. And we all got together. Mm. And Mrs. Tilak, who was there, she said that, all of us got together. Said, we have to teach more and more children, mm. more and more people. Mm. So we formed a little society called Origami Mitra. Mm-hmm. And it's flourishing now. Yes. Now, right now, I'm not that involved. I have not been going for, mm. So regularly to the meetings and things like that. But really, I've kept in touch with them. And it's a really fascinating thing. And I have definitely wanted my children, in my school, this mm-hmm. case, my City Academy for Special Education, for them also to get familiar with it.
Okay.
And I have a colleague in Origami Mitra who teaches math through origami. So you can imagine.
Fascinating. As I'm talking to you, I'm suddenly realizing there is so much in the world that I am not even aware of. And, this is a fantastic lesson for me personally. But one more question about origami before I move. Is origami an art form that is growing in our country?
Yes. I'm happy to say it is thriving. Mm-hmm. And but the problem is it's not recognized as an art form because very often it is not something which is completely, may I say, original. Mm-hmm. We have invited a lot of artists from Japan and America who have come here and who have, you know, helped us and who have taken part in origami exhibitions. Some of them are original, and we have a few of our own folders who are original folders who have developed their own models. Mm-hmm. But it's not, so far it's not taken that, you know, it's so useful. Mm-hmm. Of course, we see all the things where you use origami. But I think it's not really coming to that art form kind of a thing, though it needs a lot of artistic ability.
Very interesting. So I'm now going to move to the next segment of our conversation, which is Tata Consulting. I mean, you know, you have seen it grow from, as you said, you got married, came to Mumbai, and, you know, Mr. Ramadurai built it from $150 million company to a $6 billion. And today, the world, one of the world's major players in software and technology. I wanted to understand, you know, that old saying, behind every successful man is a woman. I'd love to understand, because Mr. Ramadurai was talked very highly about the support you gave in his journey. I'd love to understand from your perspective, what was it that you did and what were some of your learnings and some of your challenges?
One of the things that I like to say is not behind, but beside a man is a successful man.
I correct myself.
Because I think very often there are a lot of things that I think wives do contribute to. One of the things is, of course, the very fact that we are going along with whatever happens and we are always there for anything. Any kind of talk or discussion, I mean, we are there for that also. More than that, I think when I saw all the youngsters after a few years that I was working, I was working by myself, of course. I had taken up a job in SchoolNet India, training teachers to use the computers in the classroom. So I was doing that. My husband was doing something, and, you know, everybody was scattered. And TCS has been a big passion with him. It's always been something which is, he's always like that.
Correct.
Consumed by whatever he does and totally involved in whatever that he's doing. Whatever he's doing. Mm. So I started, always being there whenever there were things that needed to be done. And in America, of course, we were there for a few years, also starting off the operation there. And whatever was needed from me, I was always there. But more importantly, when it came to, at one point I had gone to my son used to play in the Air India building because it was all completely open at one time. Mm-hmm. And there were no desks or chairs or anything at that particular time on whole floor. Mm-hmm. So he could run around, you know, that was the most open big space that we had in Bombay, I think.
That's true.
Enclosed. Mm-hmm. So, and then I started interacting with those youngsters. They're all very, very young. As you're saying that your helpers are one third, so many of them were so young. And one of them came to me and she said, "Ma'am, we like to listen to some music in our spare time." And most of them spent most of their days and nights there, you know. So I started looking at that from a perspective of how my children in Campion, you know, they were also almost the same age at that particular time. I said, this is ridiculous that we don't look after these children. And they had all left their parents and come to Bombay. They were in need of psychological help. I mean, some kind of reassurance or whatever. They had sometimes, they were looking for other things to do. Sometimes they had left behind many of their passion and hobbies. And so I started talking to them. And I started interacting with the wives. And then formally, actually, 23rd of February, 20 years ago.
Wow.
I launched TCS Maitri. Mm-hmm. I said, we all have to be friends. And there are many things that wives of all the senior management and everyone there in TCS can offer to the youngsters. Mm-hmm. So I said, we should be able to, you know, amongst ourselves also share whatever we can. And we should be able to bring outside help to get these children to think a little out of the box, out of their cubicle, they used to call it.
Correct.
So take them out for treks. Mm. Then I did a few workshops for them in music. Mm. There were many of them who were very good in music, and they had left that behind because engineering and all that is quite a draw on the time and right. effort. So many of them took that up. And I said, some of the people in the wives in the corporate, you know, many of these engineers may not have kept up with even their reading or their communication. So I said, even that would need help. And we started off with, you know, many initiatives in that. And some wives, I had a training for them, initial training, and they took it up. And especially one lady, Lalita Murthy, did excellently well. She went on to do the British Council, you know, business English, and she started teaching and training a lot of the engineers how to communicate, and you know, that is also very important. And I felt this is our India's face put forward.
Correct.
So we need to come through as, you know, cultured, communicative people who are fully conversant with everything modern also. Software is not the only thing that we should.
Absolutely. Very well said. So I've got time for one more question, and I'm going to now move to the Anvesha Trust. I would love to get an understanding from you on the work this trust does and what was your motivation to start it.
So we have been, I was, of course, volunteering my time in SRCC when I joined the special school there. Mm-hmm. So I look after that school. I'm the chairperson of that special school. Mm-hmm. And I felt that that was not enough. You know, we needed to channelize our energies or our monies also. To give sustenance or sustain some of the initiatives which were. And we came across some of the things which were being done, and Ram and both of us are very quite involved, or we want to help out in our Ram's birthplace also. So he is, he's born in Nagpur, but he comes from Shengalipuram, a small village in Tanjore. Okay. And we felt that even there we should start some. So we started a small study group. And then I said, why don't we make this into a more formal thing? So we created the Anvesha Trust to, you know, channelize our money, some amount of money. And even our families could later on contribute to it. And we created this trust. And I also do, every year, I do a Smriti for my Guruji, for Yashwant Bua Joshi. So music, a little bit, a lot of, you know, study and other. I'm also very passionate about women's, I don't know. I think we need to at least give them some sustaining thing, not only jobs, but even confidence itself.
I agree.
So some of those things are happening, and we have some very, very good people who are working on the ground. And now we are doing a lot with the Irula tribe. That's the tribe which is completely not overlooked, I would say, but shunned by the other people because they are the ones who catch snakes.
Okay.
So they are, people fear them, and they don't want their children in the schools. They are not very happy with them living in the villages. So there are a lot of problems with that particular tribe. So we found a person who was doing other things, and he was also very interested. He said that, I'd like to help, you know, this particular tribe also. So a lot of this thing is going towards the Irula tribe. And generally, for village not reconstruction, but at least to give them a lot of other inputs.
Amazing. On that note, Mr. Ravadurai, thank you so much for speaking to me. You know, it's been an incredible conversation. Thank you for talking to me about your music, your passion for music, and the way you've set up Musiki and what you're doing for so many children. Thank you for talking to me about origami. What started from your bed when you had jaundice seems to have flowered into a passion across a much, much larger group of people. Thank you for talking to me about the amazing role you played in TCS, standing beside Mr. Ramadurai and supporting families. When I was with ITC, I know the kind of challenges young IT professionals were facing when they were going overseas. And I think you were really there to support them. And thank you for talking to me about Anvesha. What an amazing journey you've had. And I'm sure there's so much more ahead for you. Thank you.
I really hope so. It's been an interesting life on. Being very thankful to that. And I think my son, my husband, they both have been very supportive of whatever, you know, passion or madness I might be having.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.